Sometimes we need some motivation for our practice, huh? So we look at our life, yeah? What was the reason why we came here in the first place, yeah? Dukkha, huh? Dissatisfaction, dis-ease, huh? Boredom, restlessness, whatever you call it, it's all called dukkha, yeah? Dukkha is a big container for all the unpleasant experience that we have, yeah? Be it bodily experience or be it, you know, mental experience, yeah? So we're looking for a way out, yeah? So we need some motivation, yeah? Because after a while being here in the monastery, yeah, we forget, you know, we forget our motivation why we came here in the first place. Huh? And the Kilesas paint a nice picture how beautiful it is outside. Yeah? And then you forget why you came here. Huh? Dukkha. Huh? You have to really understand dukkha. Yeah? Dukkha in your life, yeah? And you start with birth, yeah? Nearly of all of us, you know, nearly went, you know, died, you know, going through this small channel, yeah? Huh? Huh? If the doctor didn't give us, you know, a slap on the back, you know, yeah? We would have died, yeah? And quite a few children die, you know, at birth, yeah? So that was already painful, yeah? And then we needed to learn to move this body, yeah? Then we needed to learn to walk. Then we needed to learn to talk. Then we went to school. I mean, most of us went to school for at least 12 years, 10, 12 years, yeah? And then some of us went to university. I mean, was it so much fun? Yeah? Do you want to go through this again? Ask yourself, yeah? Get some motivation, yeah? You want to go through all this again, yeah? And then, you know, I mean even then, you know, maybe we find a job, then we have to wake up in the morning, you know, go to the job, earn some money, in the evening we come back tired, you know, we eat something, watch TV, you know, or talk with other people, you know, maybe just waste our time, yeah, you know, some people play games there, yeah, and so on, yeah. And then we go to sleep, and the next morning we wake up, you know, and go to work again. Because we have to work for this body. Yeah? We have to earn our living. Yeah? That's what it's called. We have to work for this body in order to be able to keep it alive. Yeah? We cannot just live from air and sun. Yeah? No, we need some food. Yeah? In order to get some food, either we grow food, yeah, or we earn our money so that we can buy food. And then we need clothes, and then we need medicine, and then we need, you know, we need a place to stay. So it all takes money, yeah? And this money we have to earn. Yeah? So all our life we are working, yeah? I mean the first 40, 45 or 50 years, you know, I mean our body is relatively strong, yeah? And then afterward it starts to decay, yeah? And then we just wait for death to come, yeah? And just wasting our time, yeah, by doing this and by doing that. Yeah? We never reflected upon it. Yeah? I mean, why do we, you know, why do we talk to these people? Why do we get interested in this? Why do we, do the things that we do? Because there is some unsatisfaction, yeah? Unsatisfactory here in the heart. There's some dukkha in the heart. It is either called, yeah, boredom, yeah, or it is called restlessness, because the heart is very restless, so we need to do anything, you know, to not notice the dukkha. Yeah? That's why we, you know, have a conversation, or that's why we eat food, or that's why we go on trips, you know, to this country, because we don't want to see it. Yeah? We don't want to see the dukkha in our life. Yeah? We only have the tools, you know, I mean, to hide the dukkha, yeah? For instance, you know, I mean, when we wake up, you know, in the morning, yeah, we are hungry, yeah? So, we have to, you know, this is dukkha, yeah? It's dissatisfaction when we are hungry, so we have to eat something. Yeah? This is a way to get, to not to see dukkha, or to get rid of dukkha for the moment, yeah? Then we need to go to the toilet. It's dukkha. Yeah? Then we need, you know, then we get tired. It's dukkha. Yeah? We don't, that is just bodily dukkha.
Yeah.
And we don't realize this. The only thing, you know, I mean, we try to hide this dukkha, yeah, by doing things, you know, that make us not so aware of this dukkha.
Yeah.
I mean, go into hunger and see what is hunger. What is it like, yeah? Or the dukkha of feelings, of painful feelings. What is it like, yeah? We don't have to escape.
Yeah?
This is something we have to make ourselves clear day after day, you know, I mean, and until we get the motivation to practice 12, 14, 15, 16 hours a day. Yeah? Because this dukkha doesn't go away.
Yeah?
Dukkha goes only away if we do our investigation, if we follow the path that the Lord Buddha prescribed to us. Yeah? And following this path that the Lord Buddha described to us is sila, now keeping the five precepts, or we, here in the monastery we keep the eight precepts, yeah, that they just recited. Yeah? We keep the eight precepts, yeah, and then samadhi, we learn how to train our mind, you know, to become calm, by either using anapanasati, you know, mindfulness of breathing in and breathing out, or buddha. Yeah? And after, and then the third part, you know, of the path that leads to the end of dukkha is panya, the development of wisdom. And that can only come through investigation, but not through thinking about it, yeah, but through actually investigating, real investigation. Yeah? And we start with the investigation of the body, yeah? Because that's what we are attached to. When we look at the first three fetters, yeah, the attachment or the notion that we and the body are one and the same thing, yeah, we have to break this attachment. Yeah? We are not the same thing. I know it is very difficult, you know, but think about when you're born in a car and die in a car and never get out of the car, you think you must be the car. Because you don't know anything else. We are born in this body, we die in this body, and we never get out of the body, so we think we are the body. Yeah? And that's why lots of people are very afraid, you know, when they die. Yeah? Because they think they die. Yeah? No. The citta, you know, who occupies, who is the driver of the car, or who is the driver of the body, doesn't die. Yeah? It just goes into the next, you know, it looks for the next car. Yeah? I mean, I've never seen a person, you know, I mean... whose car died, you know, I mean, I need to bury, you know, I mean, I invite my relatives, you know, to bury this car. Yeah? Make a big ceremony out of it. Huh? Because we think we die, you know? And it's the same thing with the body. Yeah? The body is not us. We use it, yeah? That's why I sometimes call it a biological robot that we inhabit and we use it, yeah? The citta uses the body. The citta and the body are two different things. When you look at the description of the Lord Buddha, you know what he says, you know, the five khandhas, yeah? The five khandhas, body is one of the khandhas, yeah? Feeling is one of the khandhas, you know, you can see it as bodily feelings or mental feelings, yeah? Thought formation is one of the khandhas, memory association is one of the khandhas, yeah? And consciousness is one of the khandhas. He never said that the citta is one of the khandhas. So the citta is something different from the khandhas. Yeah? The khandhas, the five khandhas, are the toolbox of the citta that it uses. Yeah? The problem within the citta is that there are the kilesas in the citta and there's the dhamma in the citta. Yeah? So when we start to practice, want to practice it down, you know, and then the kilesas come, you know, using the khandhas, oh, I'm so tired, I need to go to sleep. Yeah? Yeah? That's when the kilesas that are within the citta uses the khandha, yeah? And then we go to sleep, yeah? Because, I mean, we use so much, you know, to our to our master or slave master, yeah? That drives us around, yeah? You know, the slave master tells us we need this, okay. Huh? We need that, okay. We don't like this, okay. Yeah? We only give our okay, yeah? And we have to pay the price for it, yeah? Being the price, you know, of good merit or being the price of demerit, yeah? Whatever we do, yeah? Because we have to pay. The citta has to pay the price, yeah? The citta is the one who goes to hell or the one who goes to heaven, yeah? Or who goes into one of the lower reapers, like ghosts or animal realm, yeah, or demon realm, yeah, or hell realm, yeah, or you can go up to the human realm, or be reborn in the human realm, or in the heavenly realm. Yeah. The Kilesas? No. They do. They are just like kids, you know, I mean, who have no responsibility. Yeah. They constantly suggest to us, you know, what to do, you know, and we are so stupid and follow them. This is something that we have to to realize. So we have to find some motivation, you know, I mean, to really practice. Yeah? The first thing that we really need to practice, and most of us, you know, especially when we come from the West, I mean, we have no samadhi. We have not the ability to concentrate on one point, yeah, for a length of time. Yeah? So that's what we need, yeah, first, yeah. Of course, we need to keep the sila, but that is given, you know, when we live in the monastery. Yeah? So, I mean, we either stay with the Buddha, and use the Buddha as our point of concentration. For samadhi, it is absolutely necessary to have a point of reference, an anchor, where we can anchor our chitta on, so that we can see, yeah, if the chitta drifts away, if we don't have an anchor. If you just look at, you know, a lot of people from the West, I mean, at least at my time, looked at the spaciousness of the heart or the spaciousness of the mind. Yeah? I mean, then the chitta can drift any way it wants. No, we have to have an anchor, just like when we have a boat in the middle of the ocean, we need an anchor so that we don't move away. Yeah? And the moment we move away, we notice it. Yeah? So that's why we have the Buddha, or the point of concentration for the Anapanasati is around the nose, yeah, where we can feel the breath. Hmm? And this point of concentration doesn't go away. Hmm? We need to concentrate it. Yeah? And once we are able to concentrate, to stabilize our concentration around that point, be it the Buddha or be it around the nose, yeah, then we start to learn sati. Awareness of what is going on around this point. Yeah. So, for instance, for the Buddha, is it fast? Is it slow? Is it deep? Is it shallow? Yeah. Or for the breath, you know, is it rough or is it very fine or is it whatever? How is the quality of that? What we observe at that point. This needs to be understood. Yeah. It needs to be clearly understood. Yeah. Samadhi is not only concentration. Samadhi is also the development of sati, of this knowingness, of this awareness. Huh? If we don't understand that, we can get into concentration, but this concentration is not very helpful because we don't have this awareness of what is going on. We can concentrate, yeah, but we don't have any awareness. And we need this awareness. Yeah? We need this sati, we need this awareness, this knowingness, yeah, because that is the quality of the citta. The knowingness is the quality of the citta. So we have to develop it. That doesn't mean it, of course it is there. But we we hid it under the plane of thoughts. Under the planes of memories. That's where we hid the knowingness. Huh? Knowingness comes actually before there is any thought or there is any memory. Yeah? And this knowingness arises, is there most of the time, yeah? But we have to develop it, yeah? We are not used to it, yeah? Because we constantly are in our thoughts, we constantly are in our memories, so we don't know what is awareness. Awareness is aware of the things that are going on. Without judging, yeah? Without saying good or bad, yeah? So I suggest to the people who live here, you know, I mean, look, yeah? Have a look. At one of the animals, you know, be it a squirrel or be it an ant, and put your concentration on this animal, and then know what this animal is doing. This is the knowing, yeah? We see it, you know, it goes from left to right, or from right to left, or forward, or down, or, you know, it digs a hole. We know it, we don't have to tell ourselves. We see and know, yeah? In this knowingness, we have to develop the same, yeah, with our Buddha or with our Anapanasati. It is not easy because It's not there, it has not yet been developed. Yeah? But it is essential when we go to the second stage of developing wisdom, we have to investigate. We have to investigate, we have to ask, you know, we have to ask the citta questions. Yeah? We have to ask the citta question, you know, I mean, show me, you know, what is that like, you know? I mean, when I have the body, my body flowing in front of me, I want to see how that is like. Yeah? So the citta can show us, you know, what is happening in death, at death, yeah? Because it has gone through so many deaths, yeah? So it knows it, yeah? So we observe what is happening, yeah? We don't think what is happening, we observe what is happening. Is the difference clear? Huh? And this is difficult for us because all our life we have been trained, you know, to look, you know, in fear, and think about things, yeah, how they work, yeah, think about it, huh? Not to look, yeah. But when we look at the early scientists, they're only, yeah, how did they get their knowledge? Through observing, yeah. I mean, Newton is one of the famous examples, you know, he saw the apple fall from the tree, yeah. So, yeah, he observed, yeah. And then, only then came the conclusion. But now we do it the other way around. We try to make conclusions through thinking. Yeah? And that's, you know, that's why it is so difficult for us to develop this awareness. So, we need to develop this awareness, the knowing, yeah, the knowing of the breath, or the knowing of the Buddha, yeah. How is the Buddha at this moment? Is it the beginning? Is it the middle? Is it the end? Is the in-breath at the beginning? Is it the middle at the end? You know, when is the in-breath changing to the out-breath? And so on, and so on. Knowing every detail of the breath, or knowing every detail of the Buddha. Yeah? Until we get calm. You know, once we get into samadhi, yeah, samadhi absorption, or what is it? Access samadhi, you know, sometimes upachara samadhi is called access samadhi, but samadhi is actually absorption, you know, where thinking and memory stops. Huh? I mean, when thinking and memory stops, what is happening? And there is no future and there is no past. Huh? There's just happiness. Huh? Happiness or peacefulness or stillness, you know, everybody, for everybody it will be a different experience. Huh? But there is no fear. There is no loneliness. Huh? I mean, we could escape, you know, this world, you know, by going into samadhi, yeah? It's useful sometimes, you know, because then we can take a rest. It is just like, you know, when we are tired, we go to sleep, yeah? And rest our body, yeah? And it's the same thing, you know, when we go into samadhi, we rest our mind, because when we do investigation, we have to ask questions, yeah? We have to ask questions, you know, I mean, yeah, when I cut up my body, yeah, when I sit here and cut up the body and put all the body parts out there, yeah, yeah, what part of the body is the body? Huh? If I assemble it like this, is it still a body? If I assemble it like this, is it a body? When is it a body? Yeah, which part of the body, you know, body parts is important? And then we see all of the body parts are important, yeah. All these body parts make a body, yeah, but they are just parts, yeah. So this is, you know, this is where we need to ask the right question. Eh? It's the same thing, you know, when we investigate dukkha vedana, when we investigate painful feelings. So if we sit for 2 hours, the painful feelings are coming. Eh? Eh? What do we do? We get up and the painful feelings are gone. Huh? Magic feelings, yeah? Because they're gone. Huh? So we need to investigate what is painful feeling. Yeah? So we look at it, we accept it, we look at it, investigate it. Yeah? Yeah? Where is it? Where actually is it? Is it in the skin? Is it in the tendons? Is it in the bones? Or where is it? Yeah? And we can't find it, you know. And if you do it really, you know, I mean, then it moves. It jumps suddenly to another place, yeah. And then we go to this place and we move it, you know. And then we do the same investigation at this place. Yeah? And then it jumps to another place and then it jumps to another place until it shows us where it's actually coming from. Yeah? And once it shows us, yeah, and we see with our inner eyes where it's coming from, I mean, we have understood, you know, what dukkha vedana is, yeah. We have not gone through all the stages of dukkha vedana, but yeah, I mean, this is very important for us to understand. Yeah? I mean, of course, we can infer it, that it comes from the heart, yeah, but we have to see it with our own inner eyes, yeah, and then this understanding. Investigation I often say, you know, investigation is like opening the heart, showing the heart, do you see the parts of the body, do you understand it? And the heart says, no, I don't want to understand it, I don't want to see it. Yeah? We have to show the heart. Yeah? We don't show our mind. We instantly grasp the idea, you know, yes, of course it's coming from the mind, but we cannot correct the mind. Yeah? But we can correct the heart. So we show the heart. Do you see it? You understand it? You see dukkha vedana? You understand it? No, I don't want it. Yeah? It is this kind of understanding is like like us, you know, when we are when we are in the world, or when you look at your friends, yeah, I mean, they always blame something, you know, they always blame something on the outside, on the government, on their relatives, on their wife, on their husbands, or whatever, yeah. It is like, you know, you have your hand in fire, but always look the other side, yeah. And when you see a shadow there, you blame the shadow for your burn, yeah. Now what we are trying to do in meditation is, you know, turn our heart or turn our eyes from outside to inside so that we see, so that the heart can see what it's doing. Yeah? And if the heart, yeah, if a child sees that its hand is on fire, you don't have to tell him to withdraw it. It's automatic. And that is the function of the heart. The moment the heart sees that it does something that hurts itself, it instantly lets go of it. Yeah? We can tell the heart to let go of it 1,000 times, yeah? It won't. But if it sees its own mistake, it instantly lets go. This is something that we have to understand. Yeah? Sometimes we know we have some bad habits and we want to let go of it. Sometimes we can control it not to fall into the bad habits. Yeah? But then the heart still longs for it, you know, so we do it again and we do it again and we do it again. But once the heart knows, you know, it's bad for it, yeah, it hurts itself, yeah, it will never ever want to do it again. That is the way. Yeah? We cannot tell the heart to let go, yeah, but we can show the heart that it hurts itself. Yeah? And then the heart lets go. Oh, chitta. Yeah? I mean, whatever is useful for you. Use a chitta or use heart. Yeah? Whatever is useful for you. Yeah? Okay? Is that understood? Very short and powerful talk. Huh? Yeah? Use the time wisely, huh? Use it, you know, use it to your advantage, yeah? To get somewhere, yeah? And he is falling asleep, huh? Yeah, remember the times when you were in the world and you had so much dukkha, yeah? Remember, yeah? And that's why we are here, you know, not to hide the dukkha, yeah? Or to look away, yeah, from the dukkha, but to face the dukkha and see what is dukkha. If you understand what is dukkha, you know, I mean, it's the first noble truth, dukkha. It's the first noble truth. The second noble truth is, you know, why do we have dukkha? Desire, yeah? We want something or we dislike something or we don't want something, yeah? That's it, yeah? And the third is just a happy news, you know? I mean, there's an end of dukkha, huh? And the fourth is the path that leads to the end of dukkha. Always remember, dukkha is the first noble truth, yeah? And if we don't really understand dukkha, we cannot see dukkha in our life, yeah? We have a very hard time, yeah, to find a way out, yeah? The more and the clearer and the more detailed we understand dukkha, the more motivation we have to overcome dukkha, and the more likely is it to find a way out. Very simple, huh? Okay. So, are there any questions? Are there, yeah, some, yeah? No? Andy? No questions? You have some question?
Yes. So the question is, so first we develop ability to like place the mind more on one point.
Yeah.
Right? And then we develop knowingness.
Yes.
So we do it simultaneously or just...
We can do it simultaneously, yeah, but for some people, you know, I mean, it is a step by step, yeah. Of course you can do it simultaneously, yeah? I mean, this is the best way, yeah?
Yeah, but it makes sense, like, just develop, like, to concentrate on one place, and then, because the second step is going on top of the first step, so kind of.
When you look, actually, you know, it is the principle that we use to observe other things. Eh? We concentrate on one thing, you know, for instance, the animal, and at the same time we know what this animal is doing, or what is happening when we observe the wind or when we observe the rain. Over, yeah, we observe it, and at the same time we know it. Yeah, but. For us, you know, I mean, most of us, you know, who learned meditation in the West, you know, they were only focused on concentrating, yeah? Yeah? Of course, you know, I mean, concentrate while knowing how the breath is, yeah? Or how the Buddha is, yeah? This is the hard part, yeah? Because concentration, you know, pushing concentration is easier, yeah, than to develop this knowing. Do it at the same time, yes, fine. It's the same, it's two parts of the same, yeah, of the same thing. The concentration is important, to know when the citta goes out. And then we need the effort to bring the citta back to the point. And once we are back on the point, then we know how our object is moving, how our object is doing, yeah. Be it the breath, you know, is it in-breath, out-breath, is it the Buddha, is it beginning or end, or is it fast, is it slow, and so on, yeah? I just separate it in two steps because to make it more clear, yeah? That it is not only concentration, that there is this knowingness that we need to develop, yeah? Because lot of people, you know, I mean, have problems developing this knowingness, yeah? But if it is, you know, if it is akin to you, you know, I mean, fine, yeah? Use it at the same time, yeah? So, any other question? Then read some of the questions, you know, who are... William, understood?
Yeah.
Well, a little bit, huh?
Samatha and body contemplation. Wait, this is the...
What?
This is the header. Hello, many teachers talk about using samadhi to strengthen mindfulness and then using that basis to do body contemplation.
Yeah.
Does that mean I should only begin by doing body contemplation once I can easily obtain an upachara samadhi and until that point only focus on developing my samatha practice? Or can I do body contemplation before having fully developed samadhi? If so, how should I divide my time between samatha and vipassana before having developed samadhi?
There's one little mistake, yeah? Samadhi is actually mind emptiness, it is not mindfulness. Just to correct that. People translate sati as mindfulness. Huh? The mind is full of one thing, yeah? But the mind emptiness is that where the knowing part comes in, yeah. And the knowing part is then, you know, I mean, you will see it. If you do anapanasati, in the beginning you just know the breath around the tip of the nose, but the stronger your concentration becomes, the more you know the breath, and you can feel it, you know, coming through the skin, yeah. I mean, you feel the whole breath body, yeah. And you don't have to put your concentration anywhere else to feel it, to know it. Yeah? That's why I don't call it mindfulness, that's why I call it awareness, because aware is aware of all the things that are happening at the same time. Yeah? Be it, yeah? Understand? She's tired. Yeah, body contemplation, yeah. I mean, body contemplation, I would not yet do it if the mind is not really stable. Because for body contemplation, you have to focus, just like we focus on the Buddha, or focus on the breath, of on a part of the body and visualize it, yeah. Visualize it internally, yeah. Because only then when we visualize it internally, when we see the path that we are concentrating on, then we can ask the question, what happens, you know, when I cut it up, you know, what happens, what does it look like? Or when I use a hair, you know, where does it come from? Then I look, you know. So the questions and the seeing, you know, must be there. So we have to first be able to see that part that we contemplate or that we investigate, yeah. And that's why we need sati. But there are other things, yeah. There are other things of body contemplation that we can do that we can do anytime, yeah. And first of all, reflection about death. The Lord Buddha prescribes it to us, yeah. Every day, reflection about death. We are born, we are getting older, we are getting sick, and we die. Yeah? This is a reflection, you know, you don't need to have a lot of sati. Yeah? Reflecting about your birth, reflecting about your childhood, you know, reflecting about all the things, you know, that happened during your life, yeah, and so on. Yeah? And growing old, going back, you know, going back in the memories of sickness, yeah? How did you feel when you were sick, yeah? And, yeah, if for people who are older, you know, how does it feel, yeah? How does it compare having a young body and an older body, yeah? And so on, yeah? So these things we can do, yeah? This is the pre-stage of body contemplation. But body contemplation itself is we have to be able to actually visualize the things that we contemplate, yeah? And that is, that for some people it comes very easy because they have done it in previous life. For other people, like myself included, you know, it was a hard time, you know, I had to train it for 9 months before I actually could see anything, yeah? Not with my outer eyes, yeah? You can have a help, you know, and look, you know, when you want to contemplate the hair of the body, you can look for 5 minutes, or when you contemplate the skin, you can look for 5 minutes, and then, you know, have the image in there, you know, and then use this image, yeah? And you can use the image just like your Buddha, you know, I mean, yeah? Skin, 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 you know, until you start, slowly you start to see, yeah? And then you can ask the contemplation, then you can do the contemplation. And then you can do, I mean, it's very interesting. I mean, you have so many of, that's where you need your creativity. Huh? Okay, you take a very sharp knife, you know, I mean, and then you cut your skin, you know, and then you slowly pull your skin, and you actually see what is underneath the skin, yeah? You see the blood, you know, I mean, of course a shudder will run down your spine because you don't like to cut yourself, yeah? You just do it in your imagination and already the shudder runs down your spine. And then you pull it, yeah? And then you need the knife, you know, and you cut off more of the flesh and see what is underneath the flesh, you know? And so on, yeah? Or you cut a hole in your head, you know, and take the brain out and have it, yeah? Or take the heart out and have it in your hand and see it, you know? Quivering little bit of body, yeah? There you can use all your imagination and creativity, you know? That's, but only after you are able to see it. You know? You don't have to see it like a Polaroid, you know? I mean, as long as you understand what you see, that is enough, yeah? So I wouldn't do a lot of body contemplation, you know? I mean, if his sati is not strong enough, yeah? Only if he can get any time in his samadhi, you know? I mean, for at least 20 minutes to rest his mind, then he can do much more body contemplation, yeah? But if it is hard for him to get into samadhi, I mean, I would suggest, you know, if he gets into samadhi, you know, only 1 hour a day, yeah, of body contemplation, and then rest the mind, yeah? In the beginning, samatha is more important, yeah? We need, yeah? I mean, just like everybody in this world, we need our sleep, you know, otherwise we cannot work, yeah? We cannot work 24 hours a day. It's impossible. We need our sleep, you know, to rest the body, and then when the body is rested, we can we can work again. And that is the same thing for the mind. Yeah, the mind needs a rest. Yeah. So if you cannot access samadhi very easily, yeah, I mean, do it little. Yeah, maybe an hour, maybe 2 hours. That depends on the strength of your samadhi. Yeah. But the other thing, the contemplation about death, you know, the contemplation about being born, you know, getting older, getting sick, you know, and dying, you know, I mean, that is, that you can do any time. Yeah? But, you know, also don't do it too much, you know, I mean, get your samatha rolling. Once the samatha rolling, everything is fine. Yeah? Much easier. Yeah? It cuts through much easier. I mean, the mind is much sharper. Yeah? I mean, it is like, you know, you have a blunt knife or you have a sharp knife. Yeah? If you go into samadhi, you know, and you really get deep into samadhi, when you come out, the knife is very sharp. Yeah? And then you cut something off, you know, and you exactly see what you cut off. But if you have a blunt knife, everybody knows, you know, I mean, you really mash, you know, I mean, think about a tomato, yeah? Yeah? You try to cut it with a blunt knife, you don't see the inside structure. Yeah, you can mash it up, you know, but you don't see the inside structure. If you have a sharp knife, you don't even need to do some work. You just put the weight of the knife, you know, cuts through the tomato. Yeah? And you see exactly, very clear the structure. And that's the same thing with samadhi, you know, but when our mind is very sharp, you know, it sees very easily. It sees very detailed. Yeah? And that's what the heart needs. It sees to understand very clearly. Okay, I think the question is answered, huh? More or less. The other question?
I have a certain situation bothering me. It's very unclear to me whether or not the situation is urgent for me to take care of. There's a part of me that feels like, don't worry about it, just focus on practicing meditation as much as I can, since you can die at any moment and you don't want to waste any time. Should I listen to that part of me?
Or the other part is?
Urgent business to take care of.
I mean, if it doesn't have any food on the table, you know, this is urgent, yeah? I mean, as long as your body is fine, yeah? As long as your body has the nutriments that it needs, yeah? Then focus on practice, yeah? I mean, if you just want to gather money, you know, to buy this asset or that asset, you know, or go here or there, that is not urgent, you know. Then meditation is more important. But if you need some food on the table or some medicine, you know, then this business is more urgent than the practice at the moment. Yeah. Last question?
In German.
In German, okay.
Was können wir jetzt tun, um sicherzustellen, auch in den folgenden Existenzen die reine Lehre des Buddhas zu finden und diese auch praktizieren zu können?
Das Wichtigste dabei ist, den Respekt für diese Lehre zu haben und dieser Lehre zu folgen, ne? Und immer wieder Lehrer zu suchen, ne? die diese wahre Lehre, ne, lehren, ne, und sich vornehmen, ne, und sich immer wieder vornehmen, ich will nur dieser Lehre lauschen. Ja. Und wenn man das bis zum Ende seines Lebens tut, ne, dann wird es sehr wahrscheinlich sein, dass man im nächsten Leben auch wieder diese selbe Lehre findet. Aber es ist ganz wichtig, auch einen Respekt für diese Lehre zu entwickeln. Dass ich den erhabenen Buddha respektiere, dass ich ihm dankbar bin, ne? Dass ich Dankbarkeit habe, dass er so viele Leben auf sich genommen hat, um uns diese Lehre darzubieten. Okay. Andere Fragen auf Deutsch? You can ask in three languages. German, English and Thai. Not Italian, sorry. Never learned Italian. And my French is gone. And Hindi I never learned. Okay, so then I hope you are a little bit motivated, huh? Let's go and practice, yeah? At my kuti, there is a little gate. You already remember. Okay. That's why we don't think. We look. How is that? I mean, the Upataka who takes care of me. I tell them to look. Not to think, I have to do this, I have to do this. Because then we forget things. If we look, yeah, a roof, yeah, okay, this needs to be done, this needs to be done. And before we leave this room, we look again.
I guess my samadhi is it's not sharp.
Huh? What is telling? Because you constantly think, I need to do this, I need to do that. Huh? Instead of you using the sati, yeah, using this awareness, you look and then you see what needs to be done. And that is so beautiful because we don't have to remember anything. We just need to look. Huh?
I think, yes. And that's why we forget, I think. I think I am. Huh? If I don't think, I am not. What was it? I think, therefore I am. Cogito ergo sum. That's the Latin version.